is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, our weekly visit with Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer as we explore a lot of aspects of the COVID-19 situation. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on again this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about the vaccine rollout. What do you know so far about the amount of doses that have been given out in Douglas County, and what kinds of places is the vaccine being distributed locally?
Well, vaccine has arrived in little dribbles here in Douglas County. But we're pleased to announce that there are six different ways that the vaccine has come to town. The VA has brought some vaccine to its facility, and it has been vaccinating its staff. Lower Umpqua Hospital got about 260 doses, and they're starting to vaccinate their staff and other people associated with the hospital. Cow Creek has gotten some, and they're beginning to distribute among their group. Mercy Medical Center has gotten about 975 doses and then 975 follow-up doses, and they're giving those to the hospital employees, people who are employed by their employed groups, to the people at Evergreen. EMS has gotten about 500 doses, and they're giving them to EMS and to other first responders. And then public health has received 200 doses last week, about 10 days ago, 200 doses over the weekend. Those first 200 doses have already been distributed to various community partners, including Aviva, South River, and Umpqua Health Newton Creek. We expect to get more doses in the next week or so, and we will then distribute them through that very wide group of people.
So we're still in what is essentially this 1A group, correct?
Yes, we are still in the 1A group, and in Douglas County, we're moving through the subgroups. So it's confusing because 1A is a phase, and so we're in 1A phase, and we're just about done with the group one in phase 1A.
And then what will be next in terms of what groups?
Well, next is going to be 1B, and 1B starts with the teachers and then goes to other essential workers and people over the age of 75. But a lot of this depends on how much vaccine we get. I've seen projections that we'll get enough vaccine to get to 1B. The earliest I've seen is the end of January, but I've seen other projections that say it would be the end of February.
Interesting. Well, one of the things that people are saying is that they feel like the process is going too slow. I noticed the governor's even got the help of the National Guard starting tomorrow.
Well, so what happens is it is a, it's different in different places, right? So apparently there are places in Portland that have more vaccine than they can distribute, and then other places like in Douglas County that have not enough vaccine to distribute. So there's a bit of a maldistribution there, but we're getting there. So in Douglas County, we're at about 1,300 vaccinations. And so that's a pretty good start. I mean, since we've only received about 1,800 doses.
It's interesting. I saw a note from a friend in Portland who's a medical person who ended up getting vaccinated yesterday in some kind of pop-up situation where, and maybe this is one of those where one facility had more than they needed initially, and so they, like at the last minute, kind of put the word out there, and the word had gotten to her. But for instance, the people that she works with in the medical practice she's in, I think she was, you know, one of the first to get vaccinated. So a little bumpy road on this, but I suppose that's to be expected, just given how much is attempted to be, trying to do so quick.
Yeah, a little bit of a bumpy road. But again, you know, we're at the first, maybe the three quarters of the first lap of the Daytona 500. Let's not get too either excited or disappointed by the numbers here. Really, the goal is going to be, where are we going to be in May and June? Where are we going to be then? And I think Oregon is perfectly situated, and Douglas County especially, situated to be perfectly great situation.
Over the weekend, I saw a lot of different reports on the vaccinations, and it's a little blurry in terms of remembering what was where. But we talked last week about mobile vaccination clinics. Last night or late yesterday afternoon, I saw a news report, and I don't know if it was Oregon or another state, of having indeed these mobile vaccination clinics like you would do for other things at the fairgrounds. But then you had some concerns about doing it that way last week.
So, you know, the concern is that if you just have people, everybody come to the fairgrounds, there are going to be these long lines. Some people are going to want vaccine and are not yet eligible for vaccine. So we want to do this in kind of an orderly way so that the people who are eligible vaccines in the different groups get them when they are eligible. I mean, there have been free-for-alls in different places, and we really want to avoid a free-for-all. As you know, when we've done our flu vaccine drive-throughs, when we've done our COVID drive-throughs, they're incredibly orderly and quick. The idea that people would be waiting in their cars for 14 hours to get a vaccine, to me, is just ridiculous.
What about updates on the vaccine in general? It seems like I heard something over the weekend about maybe a third potential vaccine.
So there are two vaccines that have been approved. There are three other vaccines that are in late trials. These would be the vaccines from AstraZeneca, the vaccines from Johnson & Johnson, and the vaccine from Novavax. So the hope is that more would get approved so there'd be more vaccines out there. I have not yet seen the data published about their effectiveness and side effects, so we're still waiting on that. But the hope is that we'll have more vaccines available, and especially vaccines with less stringent storage requirements, and that would certainly be very helpful.
Now, I'm trying to compare this to a situation maybe we're more used to. For instance, the flu vaccine, when that goes out in a typical year, do we have multiple options? Is the flu vaccine actually coming from different companies, slightly different formulas and all of that?
Yes. So the vaccine comes from usually four or five different companies and four or five different formulations. And for the most part, people don't care. Now, some of the seniors want to have the high potency, but for the most part, any of the vaccines that are out there are recommended. And we think that's going to be the same issue with this vaccine. Now, the problem with this vaccine is you need a second dose, and the second dose, at least currently, needs to be from the same manufacturer as the first dose. And so you wind up with this matching second dose thing. But to give you the idea that in flu vaccine, we give about 1.5 million doses in Oregon, mostly in October, November, and December. And so Oregon knows how to do this. And where do we give them through? We give them through pharmacies. We give them through your doctor's office. We give them through clinics like Aviva. And then we give them through things like drive-thru. And we think it's going to be about the same deal this time, a little bit more intensive than flu vaccine, because you have to give two doses and the vaccine's a little different. But really, that should be the model for getting this vaccine out. And it shouldn't have to be waiting in line for 14 hours to get it. It should be you show up and you get it. And our plan in Douglas County looks to be exactly that.
Let's talk about the COVID-19 local update. What's driving the cases we have been seeing here in the last week or so, now that we've gotten kind of past the holidays just a tad?
So since we've gotten past the holidays, we see a number of cases related to holiday gatherings, especially people who traveled from out of area to come to Oregon. So they traveled from California, they traveled from Washington, they traveled from Nevada, they traveled from Arizona, and they came here to Oregon, and not only did they leave presents, but they also left COVID. And so that's been some of the trouble. There had been an outbreak at the Roseburg Rescue Mission, but that appears to be over at this point. And then there's a large church outbreak up in the northern part of the county that remains very active.
And are you hoping to see the numbers decline now that we're past the holidays?
We would hope, and one of the goals is that since you're past the holidays and there's people are gathering less, that you'd see a decrease in cases. But the concern is that these cases got brought in over the holidays and are now being silently spread and could increase. So we've seen other areas with really marked post-holiday surges. We haven't seen that yet. Actually, just a few cases, not very many cases today. So we're hoping that we're over the holiday surge.
And is the wintertime weather, I mean, one of the things at the front end of this, because this was such a new experience for most people, there was some talk about the virus being more intense. Maybe I'm not saying that right, but having more issues with it in the winter. Is that accurate still?
Well, unfortunately, with this virus, we've had troubles when the weather is both hot and cold. Remember, we had a big uptick in cases over the summertime, and Brazil, which is right at the equator, has had a lot of cases on a continuous basis. So temperature may not be as potent a factor with this as it is for other diseases like the flu. But we do think in the winter times, because it's miserable outside, people tend to be inside more and spend more time inside. So, for example, outdoor dining, which we think is much safer than indoor dining, is much harder in the wintertime than in the summertime. And in the fall and wintertime, we have schools and colleges and whatever, which are spreading events. So this, unfortunately, has been a bad virus in every season.
Now, what about our risk status update later in the week? I think maybe Wednesday. We'll look ahead to Friday or Saturday and see what our status is. What are you hoping for?
Well, the risk levels in Oregon put you at extreme risk if you have more than 200 cases per 100,000 population over the last 2 weeks, put you in the high risk if you're between 100 and 200. And the difference is remarkable because over 200, in-person dining and gyms are closed. At 100 to 200, they can open with reduced capacity. When I've looked at the numbers, and I've looked at the numbers over the last couple of days, we are right at the borderline here. So when the state makes that publication this week, we'll know. But we're right on the borderline, and that's why we're really asking people to be cautious about those gatherings, and especially gatherings at restaurants or bars, because gatherings at restaurants and bars is nothing particular about the restaurant or a bar or a grocery store, but in a restaurant or bar, because you're eating and drinking, you take down your mask. In a restaurant or a bar, because it's noisy, you tend to lean in and listen to the conversation. Because you're in a restaurant or bar, you tend to be there for an hour or two. Whereas the grocery store, which is another place that we go to, you really can wear your mask since you're not eating. Your contact with others tends to be really quite fleeting. You may pass somebody in the aisle, but it's typically a 10 or 15 second encounter. And even in your longest encounter, checkout is only going to be a few minutes long. So because of those differences, different places pose different risks. And we think restaurants and bars really pose a relatively high risk, whereas places like grocery stores or the supermarket or the big box stores pose a lower risk.
Let's talk about the state COVID situation. Looking at the numbers every day, it seems like sometimes some of these very rural areas will have a particular spike. Sometimes I'll do a double take when I'm looking at the number. Umatilla County the other day had a huge number one day, went back down to a smaller number since then, I think. Are these like outbreaks or what's going on there?
So typically what happens in these smaller counties, they have a relatively small population base. So when these places may only have a couple of thousand people, if now you'd have an outbreak of 20 or so at a church or place, that gives you of 20 per thousand, which is 2,000 per 100,000. So it's a huge outbreak, and it's usually a small denominator number. So when I look at all of the counties with populations of less than a few thousand, you really got to take those variations with a grain of salt.
What are you seeing in the Metro Portland area counties?
Well, they continue to struggle. Multnomah County this last week has had a relatively low number of cases, which is very refreshing. Because boy, that Portland area all the way through Salem has really, 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 really struggled with cases.
And anyone who has been up there, you can kind of almost sense it when you're in the Portland area and people, just sort of how they act in terms of the protocols and guidelines and things is a bit different. I think people can really sense what's going on around them.
Yeah, and I think people do clearly recognize what's going on there. And so they are taking more precautions. But around the country, we're seeing still a tremendous number of cases in places like California, Arizona, Rhode Island, and South Carolina. So we are still not past the worst of this.
And what is it about those particular areas nationally that's made them hotspots?
Nothing in particular. I mean, when you look at four very different areas, those are four very different areas. And a lot of it seems to be a bad luck of having a bunch of cases that just really pop up. So if you get a bunch of cases that just pop up, like this church outbreak, that's bad luck. And boy, it can really, 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 really spread.
Backing up to our county, you've done a couple of comparison counties in some of our past interviews. Did you get a chance to take a look at those this week?
Yes, I have. So, you know, looking at these other counties, these are other similar counties in size, similar counties in geographic diversity. None of those are particularly densely populated. They're all on interstates. None of them have particularly unusual populations. And so Douglas County, population of 112,000, we average about 14 cases per 100,000 per day. And our number of hospitalizations is tend to be less than 10. Lowndes County in Georgia has 41 cases per 100,000 a day. Twin Falls has 49 cases per 100,000 per day. And Pennington County in South Dakota has 60 cases per 100,000 per day. So by using a fair comparator, they're having three or four times as much as diseases we're having. And that's been going on for months now. And so a lot more people affected in those areas and a lot more hospitalizations and a lot more deaths.
And that's got to put a big stress on the medical community in those places.
And it really does put a big stress on those areas. So Mercy, you know, tends to have less than five cases a day in the hospital. And so they're able to continue to have visiting at the hospital. They're continuing to be able to have elective surgeries. They're still not super stressed for staff, but in these other areas, they're terribly stressed for staff. They're terribly stressed for just doing the regular things that hospitals do.
What about around the world? Let's talk about hot spots and low spots and why the difference.
Well, again, we don't know about the total differences, but for example, the Asian theater has very few cases. So we look at New Zealand, Australia, Taiwan, Hong Kong, South Korea, Japan. They have very few cases. They've been very active at doing lockdowns and other restrictions. They've been doing a lot of testing early on. And in each of those areas, there's not been a lot of local dispute about what they should be doing. The areas that are really struggling right now are the UK, which has been up and down with restrictions and lockdowns and then openings and restrictions. Sweden, who has basically pushed for a less aggressive approach. And then South Africa is struggling also. So it really is a tale of two different worlds. The world that doesn't have very much COVID is now back to mostly normal activities, and the rest of the world is really struggling.
Let's talk about schools. Number of districts, even some today, returning to in-person learning, or at least limited in-person learning. How at risk are kids, those under 18, for getting COVID-19?
So we think that kids who are less than 18 tend to get disease less, and they tend to be less severely affected, and they may transmit it less. But that was not zero. And so we know there is some transmission with kids, and we know that there are some kids who get sick. But in general, they get it less and get less sick than others. Opening schools is another risk factor, right? Because opening schools just means more connection between the kids with schools or extracurricular activities, which leads to more mixing. And because the kids are back in school, some of the parents who've been working from home can now work on site, and that increases the amount of connection between them.
And let's talk about for kids, the mental health side of this again. Keep hearing things, boy, every week, almost every day sometimes about how kids are being affected mentally by this situation.
Well, I think kids are being affected hard. Again, I'm in clinic every week, so I do talk to people in every one of those, and every one of those areas. And the kids, there are some kids who are doing school from home and doing a fine job, and then other kids who are really, really struggling.
About a minute and a half left here on Inside Douglas County. We're just looking at our new data for today from the Douglas County COVID-19 response team. 9 new positive tests today, so that's a lower number than we've seen in a few days.
It is a lower number than we've seen in a few days. We're hoping that that good trend continues.
But we still have, between isolation and quarantine, about 376 people in one or the other of those, which leads public health to have a lot of work there.
Well, there's a lot of work, but we've got an incredible team here that are supporting those people in isolation and quarantine. And for the most part, people in Douglas County have been incredibly good at following our advice. And that's why when we look at all of the counties in the entire country that have a population of over 100,000, I think only Honolulu County in Hawaii is lower than Douglas County. So again, we for the last month or so have been either the best performing or the second best performing county of our size in the entire country. And so I think the people of Douglas County should be proud of the work that we've all done together.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer going in-depth on COVID-19. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.